Do you wonder about past lives? Have you ever thought about where your soul has been, where it's going, or what lessons and memories have been gathered along the way? In this podcast, we will discuss past life memories, psychic phenomena, energy healing, and other metaphysical topics with experts and the average person to find out how we can heal through these experiences. So I invite you to join me on my journey. Welcome to the regression session. Is this thing on? Welcome back to the regression session. My name is Ian, and welcome to the regression session to all the new people. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we're going to be hearing from Alia. She is a returning guest. Actually, she was one of my first guests on the show from episode 7. If you want to listen to that one first, head on back, listen to episode 7, a lot of great conversation. It's actually a super, super long episode. It's like almost 2 hours, but packed full of content. Totally worth it. In this episode, I'm going to talk to Alia about like spirit attachment, about using physical items to do, I guess you could call it spell work. So basically, using physical items to achieve a spiritual purpose, such as like, for example, magic wands, candles, burning sage, rituals of that nature. Is it necessary? Does it even work? Or can you just do it? That's the kind of things that I talked to Alia about. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. You can join my Facebook group and you can interact with me. You can make posts there and interact with some more of the community. It's not that big yet. I'm trying to grow it so I can interact with you guys. So if you feel called to it, head on over to the Facebook group. It's in my link tree in the description. And you can make comments and whatever. If you want to come on the podcast and talk with me about your experience or your knowledge on any metaphysical topic, feel free to shoot me an email. My email is theregressionsession@gmail.com. If you email me, I promise I'll respond. And now for my second episode with Alia. Welcome back to the regression session, Alia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, always. You have so fun.
What episode were you before?
Oh, I was early. I was really early on.
Yeah, I'm going to look.
I feel like I was like number 6 or 7. I don't remember.
I'm going to just look real quick. And I'm not even going to edit this part out. Everybody can just listen.
Hello, everybody. Good to hear your voices again. I don't know why I said that. I can't hear anybody's voices.
Episode seven.
Oh, I was right. Nice. Episode 7.
If you want context as to how Ollie and I became like friends and talk and stuff, go back to episode 7. Listen to that. It's pretty long. It's a big chunk of content. It's like almost 2 hours, but worth it. We cover a lot of good stuff.
We did. We had a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, we did. So Ollie, I just did like a healing technique on you.
Yes.
How was that?
It was great. It was fantastic. I love being able to, as an energy healer myself, I love being able to learn other techniques, especially when they're simple and effective like that one.
Right. And what makes like, I did that technique to my buddy pretty recently. And one thing that came up was like, he was telling me how he had done like meditations and he had done breathing techniques and he had done exercises and all this stuff. And his friends who are like spiritual and and things like that are like telling him like, oh, you need to meditate. And then he told me that he would like meditate, right? And then he would kind of get frustrated because it's just like, okay, I'm meditating. Now what?
Yeah.
So that like these healing techniques that basically teach you how to get to a point where you're healing yourself instead of relying on other people, those are the more powerful ones, because like, in my opinion, all the like meditating and breathing techniques and like smudging with sage even, and like all the way down to like exorcisms and shit like that is like unnecessary fluff to me.
I don't know if I agree with that. I see what you mean though, but I think it depends how you go about it. Cause like for me, meditation has been, I cured my anxiety. I had really, really, really severe anxiety for 20 years of my life, and I cured it with meditation, because I think that just the act of meditating isn't enough. And I don't think the act of breath work is enough, but if you can go into it with an intention in mind, which I feel like we talked about last time too, but the intentional meditation, I think, is the revolutionary. Cause with breath work, I had a breath work session at the beginning of this year and it changed me forever. Like I was, like he was just telling us like to do this specific breathing thing. And then like you're feeling into your body. And then I was feeling into my body. And I just noticed that there was this dead zone. There's nothing moving in that dead zone. And I was able to like figure out why I was there and then get rid of it. And ever since then, I'm like a new woman. And so like, I think different strokes for different folks. Like I do agree that like doing the work yourself is incredibly important and necessary. And a lot of people that I work with don't really want to do the work themselves, and always kind of makes me a little sad, but like doing the work yourself is really, really important, but different people kind of like need different things. Cause I never got just meditating. But I've always used meditation as like, okay, I'm going to like get to my zone and get into my meditative state. And then I'm going to ask my spirit guides this, or I'm going to get to the zone and then I'm going to ask my body why it's freaking the fuck out today. You know, things like that. Like I always have some type of goal in mind when I do it. And if I don't have a goal, that's when I get frustrated.
Right. But most people, when they meditate, their goal is like, when I first started doing this kind of stuff, my goal was just to like, okay, I got to clear my mind, but that's not even like the goal. Like that's not what meditation even is. It's like what we just did was a meditation,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like talking to yourself. That's what meditation, in my opinion, is like talking to yourself and like just being with yourself and finding out where you're blocked. So like if anxiety's there, ask yourself like, okay, why am I feeling anxiety? Like what's the purpose of me feeling this anxiety? What is this anxiety trying to do for me? Because it's just a different part of yourself, like we experience.
Yeah.
And when you find out what that anxiety is doing or trying to do for you, it opens up your mind to a whole new like way to, it reframes it, right? It reframes it, and you can see like, oh, this is a part of me that's trying to protect me or make me feel safe or whatever. If you just sit down with the goal of like, okay, I have to meditate and I have to like get my mind silent, right? I have to make my mind go completely blank and then I can start meditating. That's where the frustration comes, I think. What are your thoughts?
I do think, I was just Googling the definition of meditation. You know, it says the action of meditating. So that was helpful. but yeah, I get frustrated if I have ADHD brain for sure. And I very much get frustrated when I'm just trying to calm down my brain and I can't, and I'm trying to do the traditional meditation thing. And like, I noticed like I can only meditate if I have a goal in mind, and I can only do intentional like breath work and stuff if I have a goal in mind. If I'm just doing it to clear my mind, I get bored because it's like, okay, my mind's clear. Now what?
Yeah. Now what? I think that's where a lot of people like get stuck. They either like can't get to the point where their mind's clear because they have so much stuff that they need to work on, and that they know that like I'm meditating to try to fix my anxiety, but they like people have this misconception in their head of like, okay, so I have to clear my head first. But in reality, working on that anxiety with yourself, like in tandem with yourself, is going to be the thing that clears your head.
Well, I think that there's two different things to do it, because I think that like clearing your mind is really important, because that's like training a muscle. And then when you clear your mind, you become the ultimate observer of what comes into your mind. And so like for me, when I clear my mind, and a thought comes up, I can tell that something my brain needs to work on. So, okay, that's good information. I'll think about that later. And then like walking, and for me, that's very valuable because I can see what my brain's trying to like think about and what I'm trying to work through, or what spirit guide is trying to talk to me, or what my body's trying to say when I allow myself to like observe my mind. And that's like the act of clearing. For me, like meditation is when you just get into like a very calm state in your brain, like an open and receiving state. And for me, that can happen when I'm like driving, or when I'm, you know, like reading, or like it can happen in a lot of different ways. And then like the energy healing technique that we just did was, you know, kind of walking yourself through the process and like, okay, so I'm feeling this, let's go through that. And I think that's really important too. But as someone who's done a lot of different types of energy healing, I see the validity in all of them. Like, I think all of them have served a purpose for me and have helped me grow in a lot of different ways. And I don't really feel that one, it trumps another one, like triumphs over anything else. It's just kind of certain techniques are good for certain elements and other techniques are better for certain elements. But like, for me, meditation's always been more than the technical thought of meditation of just clearing your mind, because I feel like you clear your mind in order to do something. You calm down the monkey brain in order to get work done. And if you're just sitting there in a clear mind, there's benefit to that, but I feel like it's a limited benefit.
And it all comes back to me to like, it's like walking up a staircase or climbing a ladder or walking down a path. Like, everybody's going to be on a different point in that path or on that ladder at any given time. Right. And it's a pretty big ladder, and it goes like up and down and sideways and like diagonal and all that stuff. So there's like crazy ways that you can do it. For me, like personally, I've just kind of come to the conclusion, and this is, you know, it could be my own bias because of how, like, how effective I've seen this kind of technique work, where it's just like, okay, it's all you, right? Everything is you. So like, I don't feel like I need to go and like smudge my house to clear negative energy. I don't necessarily feel like I
need. Have you learned to see energy yet, though? Because when you learn to see it, then it's like, I wasn't really into staging. And then all of a sudden my auric sight turned on and I look in the corner. I'm like, oh, there's a gray cloud over there. I don't like that. I should get rid of that. And where's that gray cloud from? It's because I sat here stewing and being super nervous and anxiety about an assignment. And then I cast off this frequency and now it's hovering in the corner of my room. So like, I think that, I mean, energy cleansing is a very real thing, like very real thing.
Right. I agree with you on that. But what I'm saying is like, with sage and stuff, is the sage really doing it, or is it really you just using the sage as a tool?
Oh, it's both. Yeah. No, you can clear your room with intention. Absolutely. But sometimes the tool is helpful, and it's like, I feel like we can never discredit herbs in their genuine use. Sage is overused in this day and age for sure. But like, for me, I grew up very close to sage fields next to my house. So seeing sage is like reminding me of grounding and reminding of home and reminding me of the mountain. And so that having that tool with me is, it's kind of like, I see what you're saying, and that we don't need tools in order to get these things done. And it's true. The intentional is like a good baseline for it. It's the base of everything. It's the base of evolution. It's the, you know, back, if you take us back to the very beginning, we are single cell organisms and we moved around with intention, just the intention of going somewhere. So the very basics of us comes from intention. So it is our most powerful tool at the beginning of the day, but it's not wrong to use certain tools. So if you don't feel like using sage, you don't feel like using sage. But it's also like, I've noticed that, you know, the intention is very powerful, but sometimes we get, weighed down by fear or anxiety, or it's a new circumstance. Like, for, I've had clients and they're dealing with entity problems, and you know, lemongrass essential oil is really, really good for dealing with entity problems. And if they were really strong with themselves and really strong with their intention of not letting it in them, then that would be fantastic. But some people are not there yet. Like they'll get there, but they're not there yet. So they do need that little bit of a tool to help them feel confident that they're still protected while they work on that confidence themselves.
But you have a different perspective than me, because you can see other things. I can't see Jack, right? Like I can't see anything but like what's right in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
Physically. Because I have that condition, right?
Well, I mean, you can still feel it though. Like feeling, everyone has the capability to feel things. It's just we kind of numb that one down. But like the feeling I feel like is significantly stronger than the seeing, because for me, it's my eyelids open and close. My third eye opens and closes. Sometimes I can see, sometimes I can't, but I never stop feeling. And the more you tune into that, it's so informative, and there's so much information and just like one little vibration that runs through you or like one little frequency pattern. There's like, it's like so much code in just one little vibrational pattern that you can really like learn so much from it. So all the, it's like, there's clairsentience, clairvoyance, claircognizance, there's all the clairs. And if one of them is your weakest one, so for you, sight is the hard one for you, that doesn't mean you're not capable of perceiving this. So yeah, I definitely understand, because it took me years to I read these principles and practices and like, I kind of like got it, but I didn't like really fully grasp it until I saw it and felt it and like had a direct experience response to it. But then again, that's also how I am meant to perceive this world. That's how I'm supposed to be in this world. So you're meant to be in this world a little bit differently and perceive it a little differently. And that's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't really heard like, this is like a weird debate, like flexing, like meditation techniques.
We're
fighting right now.
Are we fighting? Is this our first fight?
We're fighting.
This is a very friendly fight.
But like,
it's a debate.
It is a debate. And you know what? I've recently started on my show trying to ask people like harder questions. So if I was gonna ask you like a hard question, like if you shave everything down, like what you said is that intention is like at the beginning of the day when you wake up. The first thing that you have to do to get up is to have the intention, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm asking you is, what's the point of getting like, let's just say a quartz and using it to enchant a ring so that you can not have nightmares?
It's to enhance the frequency. Intention is your base tool. It is your most powerful tool. But we live on Earth with so many tools at our disposal. You know, intention to heal will only get you so far if you don't take the medicine that'll let you heal. You know, if you have a high cortisone count in your body, you can meditate all you want, but that's not going to negate the cortisone running through your veins. Cortisol, but you know, if you take some ashwagandha, that'll help get the cortisol down. So you need tools. We live in a world, if we weren't meant to use tools, we would not be in a physical reality. Intention is the most important tool, because it is the tool that we have. And no matter what reality we are in, whether we're in a physical incarnation, whether in between lives, whether in a different dimension, we will always have the tool of intention. It is a number one tool. But we live in a physical place with physical components to it. And so for like quartz is like the most powerful third eye cleanse I know uses a double pointed quartz, and you can substitute it by not having that. But when you hold a quartz, and if you learn to train, then you can feel the vibration of the frequency getting stronger because you're using that physical tool. Like my spirit guides taught me pretty early on, because I was kind of like, bro, I don't want to be down here. Why am I alive? Like, why couldn't I have done all this healing you want me to do out there? And they're like, the most like possible, like the most potent healing you can do is when you're in a physical incarnate. So that's why you put yourself through the ringer, because that's what lets you get the healing done. It lets you expose your wounds to let that heal. So, you know, if we like, it's okay to use physical tools, but it's also okay not to use them. What's not okay is to think less of someone for using a tool. Because if that, like for me, a lot of the things that I learned in the beginning of my energy healing, which I'm teaching to my students now, I tell them like, this is the beginning. This is just training wheels. This is just to get you like comfortable with using, like using a pendulum. This is just to get you comfortable with checking frequencies. I don't use this anymore. I outgrew it. I expect you to do your own type of growth, whether that be really solidifying with the pendulum or growing out of it. And you know, that's up to you. So because we're in a physical reality and all of the tools that we've been given come from, you know, this earth, and there's so many frequencies trapped here in this earth because we have quartz and we have shunga, we have meteors that come in. Everything operates at its own wavelength, and it's a unique wavelength per subject that you're looking at. And we can incorporate that into our lifetimes to help us, like herbs and stones. And I'm saying like I don't believe that holding a tourmaline is going to cure your colon and stop you from using constipation. But I also think that it holding the vibration of something that knows what a supportive root chakra is and holding that next to your root chakra and just allowing yourself to bond with that and kind of learn and lean into that. We wouldn't be physical if there wasn't a point to being physical.
I'm picking up what you're laying down. And don't get me wrong, Alia, I'm about it, right? Like, it's all about like where you are in your own journey,
yeah,
and what you need. So like amethyst for protection against like entities. Is that what it's for? Right. Like,
amethyst has a couple different properties. It's kind of one of the all encompassing stones. It's for like crown chakra, but it's also for the best protection stones are like lava stones, and like shungite and like the darker stones. Those are the best protection ones. Right. And even with those, they have to like, their baseline is a protective material because it's a very dense energy. However, again, intention being the number one tool, it needs attention. You need to put the intention like, hey, I need you to protect me. And that's okay. It's kind of like a tethering technique. Like, I use tethering techniques in my distant healings where I tether the person's energy to an object, so I have it like physically with me. So it's kind of like tethering the energy protection to the object or enhancing what's already there with the intention like, hey, you're going to help me out here.
Right. And what I was going to say is it's like those tools are like putting scopes on your intention, right?
Yeah.
So like having, because like you said, we are like spiritual beings having a physical experience. So if I looked at you and I was like pretending like, okay, I have like a rock right here and I'm going to use this rock to like make you feel better. I don't know. But then I don't have a rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if I had an actual rock, it's like, okay, now I don't have to worry about this. This sounds so dumb now that I'm saying it, but like now I actually have a rock. So I don't have to worry about like creating the rock in my imagination, in my hand. I can worry about like actually sending you the energy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Am I dumb?
No. I get what you mean. It's like, you know, it takes... Like, okay, so like energy healing, when you remove a blockage, you got to do something with blockage because you're holding like stagnant energy. If you just set it somewhere, it's like setting trash on the ground, you know, it's going to stay there. So you want to do something with it. And so like, you can do an intentional thing where you like have a fire or a water and you send it somewhere. But if you're in the middle of an energy healing session, there's a lot going on. Like, people don't realize like behind the scenes, I am seeing 15 things at once. I'm doing so much at once and holding a conversation at the same time. So for me, it's significantly easier. Like, I have a bowl of water right next to me. It's got salt in it. I throw it in there and I don't have to think about where I need to send it. So, you know, that's an example of like, intention's really important and helpful, but sometimes when you're intending 50 things at once, it's okay to have a couple physical things so you don't have to intend everything.
Yeah, like I said, I'm about it. I was just kind of busting your balls about it a little bit to see what you'd say.
Well, I rise to the challenge, man. It's fine. I meet my family. We bust each other's balls for like family dinner.
That's pretty much like the thing that I was going to ask you is about energy healing. Do you have any like, you have anything to ask me or to talk to me about?
Well, I will say I'm very excited to see you. I don't know how long you've been on this journey, because I know you've been doing the hypnosis therapy for a little while, but I feel like we work with different techniques and they're really both very incredible techniques. And So for you, for your energy healing, it's intention based, right? Mostly it's that latter technique we just kind of went through.
The way I look at it is everything that's affecting you, it is you, mm-hmm. right? So like, and again, it could just be where I'm at, but we create our own realities, right? So in my experience that I've seen, it's like, let's just say you feel like there's a negative entity attached to you, right? What's to say that that's not just a part of yourself that you like fragmented off of yourself? And then and then what you're doing is like, you're healing yourself, right? And I'm kind of the belief that when you're healing yourself, like when Alia heals Alia, you're healing Ian, and you're healing Billy Bob Joe down the road, and you're healing whoever, right? Because we're mm-hmm. all coming from the same place, but like we're like fragments of wherever we came from. So these like little entity things that get attached, I don't look at them as like, oh, that's like a demon or whatever. It's like, oh, like that could be part of myself. And I understand that there's like other, that there are sometimes like past, like travelers that come through. And I understand that is a thing, but in my opinion, it's a lot more rare than people think. And yeah. The healing comes from yourself. Like all the healing that you're going to need to do is going to come from you. So like, for example, like anxiety, right? You have this massive open wound with this anxiety. And what you're doing with this these healing techniques is you're washing out that open wound. You're sewing it shut. You're putting like antibiotics on it, bandaging it. And then you feel a lot better right then and there because it's like, oh, great. I have painkiller now, right? Like you're giving yourself a painkiller and cleaning your wound. But the healing that really is going to matter is like the next months or years is when that wound seals itself shut. And you have to make sure to like keep that wound clean. Otherwise it could become infected again. Yeah. And I might just be like rambling, but that's kind of like where I'm at as far as like,
can I explain to you how entities work in my world?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I am kind of very gifted at entity removals. Came to me very beginning, like before I had any of my training, that just started happening. And so at the beginning, people, so let's talk. There's different levels. There's different types of entities that can attach to you. So there's the first one where it is yourself. It is a part of yourself that is, you know, it's either like you store all your anger somewhere, you store all your fear somewhere, that anger is trying to do something for you. And instead that's more of an attacking thing. So like your fear controlling your life. And so that can be, that almost becomes an entity in itself because it's a part of yourself. But if you can like think of it instead, like it's okay to think of that as an entity because in a way that's not a part of you you want anymore. So that is, you know, something extra that you want to get rid of. But at the baseline, that does come from yourself. It does come from your own fear. And I've seen I've had energetic attachments before, but I've also had my own personal attacking me and feeling like an entity. And there's been me in the moment where I don't know if it's an external influence or if it's my own. And at that moment, it doesn't actually matter because removing it's the same. It's the same technique to get it off of you, which is, you know, making that home intolerable for it, which, you know, so if it's an anxiety thing, you know, just bringing the vibration of peace, wrapping it around, you know, visualizing that peaceful energy kind of encasing that anxiety energy and getting it out. Like you can still treat it as something you don't want anymore. And then there is kind of the next step. So if you kind of, there's so many dimensions that are right atop of this one, and each dimension has its own energetic beings. Most of them do not care about us. Most of them don't even notice us. They're just there doing their own thing, living their own lives. But a lot of them are kind of like bottom feeders, and really they're like frequency feeders. And so they're kind of someone who, like, I've noticed some of them will filter. So like someone's having a lot of anxiety and they're like, oh, there's an anxiety over there. And they'll go and they'll kind of suck on that person. But what they're doing is there's two, sorry, there's so many entities in the world. So there's some entities that'll accentuate that anxiety. So you already have the anxiety. You already have it. That came from you personally. However, is being enhanced. It's being accentuated by a creature who's feeding off its frequencies and kind of revving up the energy behind it. So it keeps going. But if you heal it, it all comes down to the same base healing of why did it attach in the first place? And that comes from like healing self understanding. And it's never like 99.9% of the time, it's not, I was just an innocent, wonderful, credible person. And then I got attached and attacked and my life was over. It's usually like there's a vulnerable moment that lets the energy in because we have our frequency. So our energy emanates around us about 6 feet. Then at the end of it is kind of the protective force. So like our skin protects our body from whatever. And then at the very end of our energy, that's a protective force. But if we are like alcohol, unfortunately, is a way to kind of make that a vulnerable spot, or just fear, or, feel like you're not good enough, or feel like you don't care what happens to you. Cause we all have moments where we just get very low and we start thinking very negatively. And then that kind of makes you a little susceptible to something to kind of attach. It is not an everyday thing. It's not an everybody thing. Some people go their whole lives without having an attachment. And that's, sometimes people get an attachment and they'll get it off on their own. But then there are others, entities. One is extremely rare and it's the only one I think it is, these entities are feeding. They need something to feed off of. So they feed off of frequencies because they're not physical. We're physical. We need physical food. They are not physical. They need an energy. And so they're looking for the energy that suits them. And those who vibrate at a lower frequency are going to eat lower frequency vibrations. And then, there's the gnarly ones that are very rare. They have a couple different looks and those are very ill intent beings, and they will fuck up your life if they get attached to you. But again, the attachment comes from your own self. It comes from a moment within you.
Hey everyone, I'm interrupting the episode to tell you all about my Patreon campaign. I love doing this podcast and it is amazing to hear from people telling me how much they love it too. It takes a ton of time and effort to keep producing content every single week for you guys, and I would love to put out even more for everyone to enjoy. By subscribing to a tier in my Patreon campaign, you can help support the show, provide more episodes, bonus episodes, behind the scenes content, and just extra content in general. So if you enjoy the show and you feel it's worth your time listening and would like to contribute, you can go to patreon.com/theregressionsession. There's also a link in the description. Thanks so much for the support. I could never do this show without each and every one of you. Now back to the episode.
And so the energy, the entity could not even be an entity. It could just be you and it's still messing up your life. Or it could be something just kind of munching off the frequency you're giving off of. Or it's, which this is the rare one, is something with an ill intent that saw that you were vulnerable and is now going to mess with you because you're vulnerable. The worst one is this tar being. When I say demon, I mean only and specifically only the tar beings, because they are the scariest ones I've ever worked with. I've only seen a handful of them. But can I tell a story about it real quick?
Yep.
Okay. I was doing a healing. I was at a shop in Karma Cards in Northern Washington, and I was only able to really get it done because there was another healer with me, Margaret. And, this two sisters come in, and one of them's got the most bubbly, happy, little joyful energy. And the other person looks like someone you never want to talk to. Like she just had this, like you look at her and you don't want to look at her. And, they both got readings. And so when it came for the not happy one to get a reading, I don't remember what I tuned into, but I tuned into something that landed. Cause usually there's a moment where someone, where I gain the person's trust. And then they like actually talk about what they're worried about. And she said, I don't remember what I tuned into. I think it had something to do with her ex-husband. And then she's like, I have been told that I have a sludge on me and it's on my shoulders and I can feel it. And a lot of healers have kicked me out of their practice because they don't want it anywhere near them. Like she's just like, I've tried so hard to get rid of it, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I called the healer in, and I had to go deep. I had to go into trance. I had to leave my body. Like, I had to do a lot of different things. I actually got violently ill later that day, because I didn't protect myself properly enough. And like, I had to remove this tar thing off of her, and it took me into a past life where, because the tar ones usually take a couple lifetimes, it's usually like a multiple incarnation thing where the first one, it's like a little bit of the tar gets on a person in a vulnerable moment, and then that spreads and it spreads. And the more the person resists it, the more the person wants to be them and themselves and happy and joyful, the less time it takes to spread. But the more they kind of give into that fear, it spreads farther and farther. And her, it was like all along the back. And I just remember the removal process was very intense. She started shaking really bad. She started like sobbing really bad. And then like afterwards, she's like, I just feel like I lost like 150 pounds. And she came back a couple weeks later, the first time, and it was like a different person walked in. Like, suddenly I could see just, she was happy. She was smiling. She was joyful. She just like looked like someone you actually wanted to talk to. And I remember, like, I told her, cause it's with all these things, it's like, you have a wound now that's healing. And so be careful not to call any of this back. Like, you have to be very careful not to, operate in the same mental thoughts or the same patterns that you were in before, because you're just going to invite that energy back in. And so, like, when you're saying, like, you know, the anxiety wound, like patching up, make sure it doesn't get infected and things like that, it's the same with entities where it's like a wound after, and you have to kind of, you know, cleanse it up. So, like, I understand that I have a very different relationship with entities, but I also think I was kind of chosen to, because it's something that I did not get a choice with, like, at all. I have now, my spirit guides made it very clear that I was going to be dealing with entities in my life. So I do attract people with attachments, despite that there are a little bit more rare to have genuine attachments. I do attract them into my life because I have the capability to help them. And also, I'm just not afraid of them. I don't care. Like, I can see the scare, and I've seen some scary beings, but they don't really faze me.
That's very interesting, Alia. So, like, stripping away, like, okay, the tar beings, right? These beings, and if I'm being difficult, just like, shut the f- up. But okay. like these beings are, like, for lack of a better term, sounds gross putting it this way, but they're like feeding off of you.
So,
but,
like,
but like, if there's nothing for them to eat, by healing yourself, they'll go away.
Exactly. No, that's what I've said the whole time, is that it all comes from a moment of you letting them in, of you having a weak moment and letting it in. And what removes it, no matter what, if you heal that core reason of why they're let in, anxiety, fear, whatever, then it's going to make it an inhabitable home. So it's okay. Like, even if you never know that you have an entity on you and that's not your goal, but you have this fear and you remove the fear, the entity is going to go regardless. So it is like, it all, like what you're saying is right. It all comes to that deep down intentional healing of healing the self, which you're capable of doing. Because if you make it uninhabitable, then they can't, if the vibration's too high for them, then they're not going to stay.
Right. And that's what I've been saying the whole time, is like, it's all you, right? It's all basically like comes from you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're healed and you're not like throwing out energy for them to feed on, then they're not going to bug you. So like these entities, like it's all on you. And I'm not saying that in like a, oh, it's all your conscious responsibility. Like, everybody has bad days, mm-hmm. right? But let me give you an example of like throwing out energy that something could have potentially picked up on, right? So like, I was Mormon and I was really bitter about it. And every single time I would drive past like one of their giant castles, like a temple, they call them temples, but they're like $70, $80 million castles.
Yeah, I know. I'm very familiar.
Yeah. They're all over here in Utah. Like, you can't drive.
Yeah. You're like the Mormon capita of the world.
They call it the Morador, the Mormon corridor. Anyway, every time I would drive past like a seminary building, which for those of you who don't know what a seminary building is, it's like the Mormon church has essentially like bribed the school districts to allow high school kids to have a free period where they go and get indoctrinated in these like church everyday buildings. But it's do your own research, but yeah, that's what it is. So anytime I'd drive past one of those, I would flip it off and be like, oh, F you, like, you know, screw off, or I hope you guys fail, or, you know, all this stuff. And I'd flip it off. But what I realized, like, one day, I'm pretty sure like one of my spirit guides had a hand in this before I knew about them. But I was like flipping off this church and I was like, why? I was like, I'm just giving them free energy. And when you feed energy into something, and I'll use this, and this might be a little bit controversial to some people, but if you look at Donald Trump, you hate him, you love him, doesn't matter to me. Think of how much energy he got from both sides. Like all the people that completely hate him, think about how much energy they were basically like feeding him. And look how powerful and famous he got because of that. But as soon as people stopped paying attention to him, he faded away. Like Twitter cut him out of there and people stopped hearing about it. And now he's gone. Like I said, love him, hate him, doesn't matter. I haven't heard a damn thing about Donald Trump for months.
Yeah, which is nice. Nice change.
Well, I'm not going to put my... This isn't a politics show.
It's not, but we can all say that it was annoying hearing about it every single day. So, like, I don't want to...
Yeah, I mean, from either side, like, you love him, you hate him, like, shut the fuck up. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore, you know?
Like, yeah, like, shut up. But you can see my point. Like, I was throwing this negative free energy to this organization. And one day I was just like, what's the point? Like, there's no point.
Yeah.
I'm done with this. And that was like a healing moment for me where I was just like, it was so freeing to just be like, I don't need to flip that off anymore. Like,
that's... Yeah. I think there's a moment in everybody's journey. Like I have a foster sister. And she had a very, very, very difficult life, both just in her early upbringing. And in college, I was literary journalism major. So I was doing a story on her because I didn't feel like finding a stranger, cause I was in college and I was tired. And, I asked her, cause when she was really angry for a really long time, she was just very, very angry. And I, kind of asked her how she was able to let that go. And she just said, you know, it's exhausting to give that much energy to something. You know, it's really like anger is an exhausting energy and it's good to have it sometimes, but it's not good to live in it. And it's, you need to let that go sometimes. And then I also wanted to circle back to the entity real quick, just to say that like sometimes entity removal is necessary because like if you are, it's basically like if you're carrying around a 50-pound weight, and it's so heavy after a while that it's kind of in the way it would be the entity kind of pushing on you and, you know, eating off of you, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out how to heal that thing it's pushing on with all that pressure on it. So if you can get the entity off and you can just shift it off, then it makes it a lot easier to look at what it was suffocating in the first place and get that off of you. So just want to circle back that sometimes entity removal is necessary just because it's hard to, like if you have someone breathing down your neck the whole time, it's kind of hard to like, I don't know, feel peaceful with that.
Right. But it's like compared to like the amount of people that go in to do like hypnosis and energy healings and stuff, it's like stupidly rare from what I've seen. To have like what you call the tar beings.
The tar beings are stupid rare, super duper rare.
That's
the
what little I'm talking ones, about.
The tar beings are super rare. The tar beings don't really eat. They infect. That's their scary thing, is that they aim to take over a soul. It's f-ing terrifying. Whenever I've cut open two tar beings in like the astral, there's a person inside. And that scared me really bad and kind of made me very questioning everything about what I did. But the lower vibrational ones that are just, no thickness to their energy, no tar. It's just low vibration. Those are the feeders. They feed. And then if you cut off their feeding supply, then they're fine. The tar beings are scary. But again, they're like very, 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 very,
yeah,
very rare.
Yeah, it's like stupid rare. It's like really, really rare. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, and I know like there's some people that do energy work that listen to my show. And I've said some things that people have like been like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. But it's all like, a matter of perspective, right? So like you, regardless of whether or not you have an entity that's you, that's like a fragmented part of yourself that's like taking energy from you to do something that you don't need anymore, or like this little bottom feeder little entity thing that was just like, oh look, free food, like the way to get rid of it is the same. You just cut off the source, or like,
yeah, but depending on the severity of the issue depends on how like it, depending on the severity. Yeah, it, the bottom feeder is pretty easy because, you know, it's like the longer a blockage has been there, the harder it is to remove because it's been there for a long time and it's affected a lot more and it's infected a lot. And so it takes a lot more to remove that. So it's just kind of like, that's where like the tools come into place, and then like extra tools can be really helpful.
Yeah. And the more you, the more food you take away from it, the weaker it gets until like, oh, there's no more food here and I'm leaving.
Yeah. For sure. But also if you get rid of it, if like you're aware that it's there and you can just get rid of it, then it makes it, it just relieves enough of the pressure to make the rest of the healing journey easy. But all, like earlier, I think you was touching on like all energy healing, it's based on the person doing the work. Like what I, when I work, when I do healing, I'm not doing anything. Like I might be there and visualizing and narrating, but if their energy doesn't move, it's not going to move. It's up to them to heal. So whenever I like do any type of energy healing work, I'm like telling them like, hey, let's move this block. And then a spoon was like, good job. You did that. I didn't do that. I just kind of guided the space for it.
You're like a tour guide.
Yeah, basically of like their own energy body.
Yeah. And like every time I've done one of these successfully, I'm just like, and they're like, thank you so much. And I'm like, no, thank yourself. Like, you're the one that did it. I was just there guiding you, like showing you how to get there.
I have learned that it's necessary to accept the thank you, but also make sure that they know it themselves. Because we are like too many energy healers like to be too humble to the point, like be humble for one. Like don't ever inflate your ego to the point where you think you're God or anything like that. But at the same point, I worked really hard to learn this energy healing stuff. I worked really hard to go through these techniques. So yeah, you're welcome that I like facilitated this journey for you. But also thank you to yourself, because it's a two-way street. Like I helped you, you helped me. Like it's a two-way street here. So thank you, you're welcome, but also thank you.
And that's why we charge money.
We charge money because food.
I know. Like we charge money because we have to live, and we, and like I've had several people reach out to me and they're like, hey, will you do an energy healing? I'm like, yeah, I'm down. But here's like the different things, like the types of healings and hypnosis that I offer. And here's the prices associated with it. People are like, oh, like you charge money. And I'm like, yeah, I charge money. Like, what do you think? How am I going to feed my family?
It's also a value exchange too. It's like respecting the thing. So it's difficult for me to, I don't know. It's been a difficult journey to understand this for me, because like for the beginning, like I couldn't afford to pay, like I couldn't afford any of that, but the universe was able to find a way for me to find the energy healers that wouldn't charge me money. I was able to make pay back to them in other ways, and find like the right chiropractors that I could actually afford and things like that. So when I didn't have any money, I was able to find the people who could still help me. And so when I became a business owner of this, it became a lot like, well, how am I going to charge people when I started, I wasn't being charged. And that was really difficult. But then it's like, and it's an exchange of value. Like if someone, like if I spend a lot of energy talking about someone's past lives, you know, that took time, energy, that's a value that I'm giving them, you know, and it's just kind of respecting that and like reciprocating that. Because if we didn't use any money, that would be great, but we do. And also it's like, I noticed like if you give and give and give and give and you don't receive anything, that is not balanced. And so like energy healing, you're giving someone some, you're facilitating something. And so there has to be that even exchange of some sort. And sometimes that's free and that's fine, because like for me, like when I was giving free healings, I was learning so much. Like I was learning from strangers on the internet that like, despite me seeing an aura, you know, on the other continent, I was still able to accurately see their aura and do that. So I didn't need money for that, because the value I got from that was enough. So, you know, but I do think the value rises to fit the occasion. If you charge in like $300 and you never practiced before, that's, you need to reassess yourself. But like, But yeah, I think you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're laying down. Yeah. We've actually talked about, like, I feel this is a very content packed episode, and it talks about some like pretty serious stuff where that people, I don't really think I've heard anybody talk this in depth about like the process and the thoughts that energy healers actually have when they go in to do it.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, what's the scariest thing you've ever removed? And like what's the coolest thing you've ever seen? They're not like, yeah. So like, it's all yourself, right? You're like, who's wrong here?
Yeah.
Nobody, by the way,
nobody's wrong. Everyone does their own thing. I assume every energy healer is different, but like for an example, and for me, it's different too. Each session's a little different, but for the most part, like 90% of my heat sessions are distant. I like to float around the world. So I keep, you know, I do a lot of Zoom healings and, you know, trance healings and things like that. And with the trance healings, especially, it's kind of like being in surgery where like I'm talking, well, I am talking to the person, even in a trance, I'm just talking to their energy. And then I relay what I like physically said physically later on. But it's literally like I'm kneeling next to the person and it's straight up. Like I have astral tools that I use and I'm like cutting open them. And I'm like, it feels like I'm doing surgery. And I literally always have a team around me. And like, when I'm doing that, I see the dimension shifts and I see myself like I see like memories like start pulling out and like, so like I'll be really deep in it and I'll like see a blockage and then looking at the blockage is like looking at a little crystal ball that's got a bunch of memories swirling around it. So I'll like look at it and see it. And then I'll hand it to like my spirit guide and then to another spirit guide. It's kind of like, okay, can you hand me like a scalpel? Like, it's so weird. Cause it really feels like I'm in like some astral energy, like surgery center. But it's a little different for everybody, but yeah, I'm curious what other energy healers see when they do it. Cause I know that's for me and everyone's unique and different. Cause there's some where I don't see much and I don't feel much. And those are still very potent and powerful. And there's others where I'm seeing everything so much at the same time. And it's a little overwhelming, but it's just kind of part of the process of learning.
Well, a lot of people, I have not been able to get someone on my show that has gone this deep into it. And I feel like I get the sense it's like a fear thing almost where they're like, oh, I don't want to talk about like what I see, because it's at that point, it's like, I'm giving away my secrets, right? I'm giving away my trade, or like maybe they're afraid of like being judged, or like,
I would say
this is really out there.
It's out there. Cause it's like woo, when you, it is an energy healing. It's energy is fluid. And so I feel like, okay. So a little bit might be like someone not wanting to give away their secrets, but I think most of it is the fear of being judged and the fear of having these experiences and someone trying to take them away from you, or saying like, you're not valid because that's super out there. And that's something that I have struggled with very, very much, because like I will experience some things that I genuinely never thought were possible and never thought, like my brain, my imagination couldn't come up with it if I tried. And you know, for me, like sharing those, I've noticed that other people, like I see their relief, because I'll share stories about like entities I've encountered or actual experiences or healings that have happened or past lives I've seen. And people will be like, I saw something really similar. And when I read that, I can like almost feel the relief of like knowing like, oh my God, I'm not alone here. And a really powerful like download I had like a month or so ago was it with you? Oh my gosh. It was during like someone, I was working with someone. I might've been you, might've been someone else. I don't remember, but basically like the information came through is that we all have a very beautiful perception of the world we're in and the universe that we're in. And it's all like, we all have our own puzzle piece. We all have our own gifts. We all have our own viewpoint basically. And our society over the past several thousand years have conditioned all of us to be afraid to share what we see. What we see will alienate us from other people. It's too weird, you know, it's too out there. So therefore, you know, keep it quiet or you're going to get prosecuted, or you're going to get hanged, whatever. But they're saying like, now, if everybody talked about what they experienced, what they saw, now suddenly you're going to find people who saw the same thing, who experienced something very similar, who, you know, were able, and now you can put those puzzle pieces together. And so I do hope that, you know, those energy healers or practitioners or, you know, people who are even doing a personal practice in general can feel more confident in sharing their stories. Because I do think, like, if I didn't share my stories, like one, like I had a vision that terrified me, unhinged me, made me very, like, it shut down all of my gifts because I didn't really think that, like, I just didn't understand it. And I was like, after years, I finally opened up about it to someone. I was telling her and she finished the vision for me. Like, she just continued, like, she just finished what I was saying. And I was like, were you there? Did you see the same thing? And she's like, I didn't see it, but my friend saw something like that. And I read a book where that vision was written out. I was like, wait, what? So when you're afraid to share your things, you are blocking yourself from receiving any clarity or any understanding. And our society said, like, all these woo-woo stuff is like out there and crazy, and you're ludicrous if you're looking into this kind of thing. And that fear is what keeps us ignorant. And that fear is what keeps us from truly understanding ourselves. And when we understand ourselves, we can heal ourselves. And as we heal and understand ourselves, we get to heal and understand the world and make the world a better place. Because, like, if you want to make the world the best place it can be, start with you. If you are the best person you can be, the world is better. And nothing, like, I met so many people who think that the world would be better if they put themselves in a box, if they appease everybody. But no, if you embrace who you are, you are a puzzle piece. And we need you. We need you, dude. If we don't have you, the puzzle's not completed. And so, like, own you. Like, you know, look at yourself, look at your experiences. Don't be afraid to share them. Because you'll never know when clarity will come. Like, things that I thought I would literally be cast in a mental hospital for, people were able to validate what I had seen. And I would have never gotten that. So I definitely, like, if you ever look at my website, which is glowinggaia.com, I've been posting, and if my Reddit has it too, like, I've been posting stories about some of the things I see. And today I posted one about, like, my spirit guide's response to me going soft on entities. And like, it's out there and I get that, but it's the things that I feel called to share. And when I share it, I notice that other people get a lot more confident in themselves because they're experiencing similar things. And now they have a more validity to that. So if we can, like, stop being afraid to share what we see in energy healing sessions, what we experience, you know, when we're meditating, when we're traveling astrally, or, you know, whatever it is we're doing, then we will really bring so much more clarity and understanding and knowledge to ourselves and the world and as a whole.
You just touched on what the core essence of this show is about. Like, just providing, like, a platform for people to share their experiences. That's literally the only thing that, when I first started, I was like, there's got to be a place for this to happen, like, where people can come on and just share their thoughts. I couldn't find one when I was looking. I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for. And I was like, okay, I guess that I'm just going to have to create it.
Yeah.
You know,
I kind of realized the same thing. I keep trying to find my spirit tribe. I keep trying to find the community that I can just be myself. Cause even on Reddit, it's like, okay, this post, where can I post it without pissing off the mods, or, you know, which subreddit does it apply to? And then I'm kind of at the point where it's like, just make a blog, just, you know, write, like, create your own community.
Yeah. Make your own place.
Make my own place. Make, like, if I want my soul tribe, it's time for me to make a place where people who resonate with me can come and form a community with, instead of, like, hoping that the universe is going to bring us together. I trust the universe. I trust the timing. I trust they meet the right people at the right time. But there's a moment of realization where it's like, you have to take matters into your own hands. If you don't see what you want, then create what you want.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it. Like, this is my show, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't anybody else's show. Like, I didn't have to ask you to come on that first time. I didn't have to be like, yeah, okay, you want, like, let's do it again, right? Like, I didn't have to have Dr. Bruce Colossi come on. I wanted to have those people on.
Right.
I wanted to have people that are like, oh my God, I remember being a World War II soldier. So if you're out there and you're listening right now and you're debating whether or not to, like, reach out to me, shoot
this
me
is
an
your
email.
Sign. This is
email
your sign.
Me.
Email.
Do it. I've had, like, I know that I've had people reach out to me and then I've replied to them and they did, like, I can tell that they didn't think I was going to actually reply to them, but I've responded to every single person that has ever emailed me or messaged me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever. I've responded to every single person. So if you're one of those people that's like, oh, you know, like, I have like these crazy out there experiences, but I'm too afraid to share, just send it. As the kids say, I don't really know what that means. I'm
just
kinda
send
old.
It. That's what that's, the kids say. I've never
yeah.
heard that.
They're like,
maybe
just
that's
send
what
it.
The Utah kids say.
Oh, no, they say like full send. They're like, all right, full send. And then they just do whatever they're going to do. It's kind of cringy. Another weird thing that they say is like, it's so bad that they're like, if there's like a really cool song that they like, they go, man, this song's a bop.
They don't say that. That's like what they said
no.
like 15 years ago.
No, they do. They say it here.
I hear. It's so okay. Cringy. I think the last time I was around young people was in California, which so like a year ago. Cause my little brother, he's like 5 years younger. I'm 25. He's, oh my God, he's 20. That's so weird. But
we're
basically
old.
We're not old at
I'm
all.
Old.
We're
I'm
just
old.
No.
I have two kids. I'm old.
You feel old.
I am old. I'm really
if
old.
If you feel old, you'll be
Look
old.
Look at this beard.
I feel young.
Do you
so?
See how...
Have you ever seen a 12-year-old with a beard? Like, it
no,
just
I'm,
matters when
no,
testosterone hits.
You're missing the point. Like, look at my beard.
The point is,
the color.
Validate the fact that I'm old.
The color.
You're stressed, dude. My mom had silver hair when she was 20, okay? Like, my mom had literally, her hair turned silver when she was 20. She was not old then because she had silver hair. And honestly, if you called my mom old now, she'd probably deck you in the face because she's a very youthful, lively woman. But, oh, whoa. What were we talking about? I wanted to, like, get you off that train. I think you're my age, too.
I'm 26.
Oh, my God. I think the kids are saying like that's sus, bro. I've heard a lot of sus.
You know, they say that too. It's really cringing me out.
Or like oh, let's mob over there. Like, oh, we're gonna go mob. Like, what are you gonna do? Which means get in the car and transport yourself over.
Do you know
there.
What that actually means?
I'm pretty
anyway,
sure it means like a riot or something.
Right, exactly. Like a mob. But, anyway, oh yeah, we've been talking for an hour. I want to keep talking okay. to you, but we gotta cut it.
Right.
We gotta be responsible with people's time.
Yes.
So,
because we appreciate all of your time.
I appreciate everybody that listens. So tell me once again your social media handles. If you got your YouTube channel, that if you got your website, what do you got going on? Throw all that out there.
I got a website which is glowinggaea.com. So it's glowing GAEA.com. And then you can also find my Instagram, which is at Glowing Gaia, my Reddit, which is Dish Soap Almighty, because I did not intend for it to ever, I thought it would be a lurker account. I never thought it'd be used by anybody I didn't think it'd be what it is today. And then I also have a Twitter, but I don't release my Twitter. My YouTube channel is coming soon. I am working on being what we talked about is literally being unafraid to. Like, I'm scared to share my voice and, you know, this is a great step for me to do it, but YouTube channel is coming soon.
All right. It's official. Like the YouTube channel is coming soon and people are going to be looking for that.
I know.
So
it's coming.
So reach out to Alia on those social media handles. If you feel drawn to working with her, I also have another episode of this show. It's episode 7. Check that out. All the links to all your stuff is going to be in the description. And, you know, I normally ask people, like, do you have a message for my audience? But I think you wrapped it up quite nicely by saying, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there and
be
share.
Be yourself. You know, I would say if you want to have a goal in this life, make it to understand yourself, embrace yourself, and be the best version of you can be. And who you are at a core level is a loving, peaceful, genuine person. And anything that keeps you from thinking that is something that's you got to heal because that's not actually you. So my message is that it's a beautiful world out there. It's a very complex, it's an incredibly intricate world. And it's just fun to understand and explore. So just be open with yourself, be forgiving yourself and have fun with it.
Beautiful, Alia. Well, thank you so much for coming back onto my show.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's episode. I would like to thank Alia once again for coming on to my show, and I would also like to thank you once again as well for coming and listening. Head on over to glowinggaia.com. Head on over to at glowinggaia on Instagram. If I could talk. Glowinggaia or Gaia. I pronounce it Gaia. I don't know about anybody else, but glowinggaia. That's how I would say that. Anyway, if you don't mind leaving me a great review and a great rating in Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this, it really helps me get the show out there and it helps me to grow my community. And speaking of growing my community, head on over to my Facebook group, my Facebook page, my subreddit, or whatever. Make a post and interact with me. I would love to hear from you. And if you want to come on the show and talk to me about your experiences, my email is theregressionsession@gmail.com, and I would love to have you on the show. Next time somebody tells you that you have an entity on you, tell them to shut the f*** up.
Unless it's like, I wouldn't want to be told to shut the f*** up, because I'm not going to say you have an entity on you, good luck. I'm going to say like, hey, we have this, let's get through it.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you would be like, hey, just so you know, like, I can, like, there's an entity, like, leeching on your energy, but we can work through it. But I'm talking about people that are like, yeah, you've got something on you.
Sure, that's not cool.
And bye. Have a good day. Have a good day.